This is Friday, May the 1st, the Oral History Project from London Branch, with Rosemary Tilden, Mary Barker, Owen Mayer and Wilson Nicol. This is London Branch, and we're going to talk about how you all started to dance initially. Start with Rosemary.
Well, I started way back in the 1940s, when I was... my sister had a boyfriend who wanted to do Scottish dancing, and he dragged my sister along, and she wanted me to go as a chaperone, basically. And in fact, we were taught by Dr. David Imrie, who is the father of the well-known actress now, Celia Imrie. And we started in Guildford, and then I went on, then I started working in London, and I started dancing in London.
We have to go back to the First World War. When the Scottish regiments were decimated, they recruited Geordies and Lincolnshire lads. My father, who was a Lincolnshire lad, he joined regiment he joined, come back to me. Anyhow, when we were children, my mother had a photograph of my father in his kilt, looking very handsome, and this had made an impression on my sister Margaret. In 1956, I was off to a congress in Zurich, and I asked Margaret to get me enrolled for a German class at St. Malvern Evening Institute. When I got back, she said, "I've registered you for German and both of us for Scottish country dancing." Seaforth Highlanders, my father was in. So we went to this class given by, he'd been a pipe major, and MacDonald Murray, and he had his little goose. We danced the little goose. And he was not very interested in technique, but in dancing to the music and the formations. And then I'd been to Westfield College and I'd joined the InterVarsity Club and found that Peter Quinn was taking a Highland dancing class. So I joined his class and my technique improved considerably. And he suggested I should go to a society class. So I went along to Quinton School, where John Armstrong was taking an intermediate class, and he was very doubtful as to whether I would be up to scratch, as I hadn't been through a beginner's class, but he said I could stay for that evening, and I passed muster, so that was my first class.
Well, going back to the late summer of 1963, when I suddenly thought, what can I do? I can't sit around and do either. And of course, it was the heyday of Evening Institute classes all over the place, and they all. And this was in North London. Well, I suddenly found that there was quite near to us. There was an Evening Institute, and for some reason, I saw Scottish country dancing on the syllabus, and I thought, oh, I've always liked Scottish dancing. In fact, when I first saw it, I went to an excursion to the Spalding Flower Festival in Lincolnshire, and there were floats, and leading the floats were Scottish country dancers. And I thought, oh, that's rather nice, and it went out of my mind. I didn't sort of pay a lot of attention at the time. And then I saw that there was this Evening Institute class, and I thought, oh, I'll go along. And off I went, and this was September 1963. And it was one of those things how in life where things click instantly. They absolutely click instantly. And if I think back, the teacher wasn't very good. We danced to scratchy records. When you say reels and jigs, she chose the appropriate track that didn't have any scratches on it. So you could be dancing to any music. And on the first night, we learnt Skip, Change Your Step, Pas de Basque, Strathspey Travel, Strathspey Setting, Duke of Perth, Montgomery's Rant, Duke of Athol's Reel, Dalkeith Strathspey, and all these in 2 hours. Now, if that didn't click, then, because I could have been put off just, you know. Anyway, I thought, oh, I think this is something for me. But I sort of made inquiries, and the next thing, I got a copy of the will and found out about the branch, and then off I went from there.
Well, I started dancing when I was about 5 or 6, and lived in a village of 1,000 people, and we had an itinerant dancer come round, Dancy Jackson from Arbroath. He taught. It was one of those sessions of dancing. You had 8 or 10 dancing sessions, and then you had a ball at the end when all the parents were invited to come along. He provided the music with his fiddle, which he had strung on his back as he cycled from village to village. My memory was going wrong in this exhibition ball. I was leading the line and went the wrong way, and everybody clapped their hands. And anyway, there was no dancing during the war, no dancing classes during the war, but right after, the village had a new GP, and his wife was Mrs. McClellan, and she was a great friend of Miss Milligan. So she started dancing, and it was in 1946. This was a great success, and we had 3 separate classes in a village of 1,000 running during the winter, and that's really how I started country dancing. She had me go to the summer school in 1951, and in 1952 I did my first certificate with Miss Milligan, and did my full certificate in 1956 with Miss Milligan. And then I moved down to England and joined the London branch in 1957. And that's really how my connection with the London branch started off.
Great. So what was it like joining London branch? Welcoming?
Yes, very welcoming. Yes. Yes, I enjoyed it. I was very young at the time.
How about for you, Mary?
I don't remember which year I actually became a member of the branch, and didn't really take. I attended, you know, to the dances at Fetter Lane, but it was in 1973 when Mary Stoker was taking the Tuesday class. She said that there were vacancies on the committee of the branch, and she persuaded several of us to stand for the committee. I remember Peter Knapman was one of the other ones who stood, and we both became members of the branch committee. And after that, I took a much greater interest in the branch and became much more active.
And the actual dancing?
Well, the actual dancing, well, I mean, I was very fortunate with John Armstrong, who was a splendid teacher. I still remember the way he taught the Doofstangle, whatever that is on the programme, I think of John Armstrong. But I mean, Mary Stoker too, we were so fortunate having her. She was an inspiring teacher. So.
Yes, I certainly agree on that one.
And you were at Mary's class too?
I think who I first started. No, I didn't start with Mary Stoker. No, I remember going to a class. Oh gosh, and there were two different teachers, but I honestly can't remember who they were. I mean, this was before, because it would have been the night I started in the 40s and I moved to London in the 50s, started working in London in the 50s, so it would be in the 50s. And there were two teachers, but who they were, I haven't a clue. I honestly can't remember. But they certainly inspired me. And I certainly had all sorts. I mean, I had Mary Stoker, I had Alex Westwood, I had John Armstrong, and there were several others that are long, you know, long gone.
Mrs. Sanderson, would that be one?
Could have been one.
Yes.
Could have been one. And there was another lady that was very good at the time. I just cannot remember who they were way back.
Were there auditions for classes, or could you just go?
No, you could just go.
Well, I was definitely auditioned by John Armstrong because I hadn't been to a branch in elementary class. You know.
No, I didn't have an audition. I just went along and joined. but I can't remember where. Unfortunately, I can't remember where it was. I mean, the thing that sticks in my mind, going way back, was when I was on the committee, going to Irene Stewart, her house, her flat in Victoria. That must have been the 1950s. So I got on the committee fairly soon. By fair meals or foul. And that was done by Ian Anderson, got me on the committee, because we both were at Guy's Hospital together. So that was, but who the teachers were, until we got to Mary Stoker, and then I can't remember whether Mary Stoker
was before. Well, John Armstrong was followed by Mary Jameson, that's when it became an advanced class, and then Mary Stoker took over for Mary.
But did you go to Alex Westwood's?
No.
Yeah, I went to his for quite a while. That was at the
YWCA, down in the basement.
Down in the basement, yes.
Above the swimming pool.
That's right, that's it.
Yes. The classes were quite large.
Hmm?
The classes were quite large.
Oh, yes. Yes, plenty of people there. Yeah. Yes. That was
well, at Quinton we had a large class because it was a wonderful venue. I know, unfortunately the barns moved from there, but I mean it was a very good hall and a good piano.
Well, as I said previously, after the first night I went to this local class, it dawned on me that this was obviously something I wanted to do, and I continued with that class until about the Christmas, I suppose, and learned as much as I could, and then found out about the branch. And in fact, I can remember the day I joined the branch, the date I joined the branch, and that was the 9th of December 1963. And then I got the reel, and as soon as after I got the reel, I saw that there was a dance at Fetter Lane. So off I took myself to the dance at Fetter Lane and watched what was going on and thought, well, if I want to improve like these people are dancing, I have to take it a bit more seriously. Well, shortly after that, when I got the reel, I sort of saw all these various classes, and there were umpteen in those days, and all the grades and all the institutes. I saw that there was an intermediate class taken by Nan Summers. Now, at this point, I realized that I was obviously a bit more advanced than beginners. I sort of learned something. So off I went for the first term, for the last term of that year, to Nan Summers. And I thought, yes, this is obviously something for me. Then, June of 64, I went to a day school in Croydon. And Bill Ireland, Miss Milligan, and Mary Stoker were there teaching. And I thought, now this is obviously something. These are the people I have to hitch my star to if I'm going to make anything of all this, you see. So when the new season started in September 64, I joined Mary Stoker's intermediate class. And although you were saying, were there any auditions? There were auditions to a certain extent, because on the first night of class, they were very strict, weren't they? And, you know, if you weren't up to that particular grade which they put you in, which you put yourself in, you were soon told, well, I think you'd better do so-and-so and go down the thing for a short while and this, that, the next thing. So, yes, I suppose there were auditions, but anyway, I obviously passed muster, and then, of course, being single at the time, I had all the time in the world and started going to day schools around the country, you know. And at that point, my teachers were Mary Stoker, Bill Hamilton at weekend schools, Andrew Grant, and Bill Ireland. So that was my sort of start of all this. And you couldn't start it any better, as it were, you know. So obviously.
So in the meantime, you were...
In the meantime, when I came down to London, my aspiration was the demonstration class. And that was definitely an addition. There was an addition at the, I think, in the summertime. And there were huge crowds turned up for an addition. They had an addition panel sitting on the platform making notes, and everybody was asked to carry out dances. Bill Ireland set the dances, and one in particular was the Hugh Foss dance, the six bar dance, Cairn Edward. And this was put on to separate the sheep from the goats, because most people automatically dance eight steps to the bar, eight steps to a phrase, but this is six steps to a phrase, and it's really very awkward. You need to listen very carefully. Anyway, I was not successful the first year. The second year I was successful. The third year I was unsuccessful. The fourth year I was successful. The fifth year I was unsuccessful, and the sixth year I was successful.
Really?
So I wrote a little poem about this, in out, in something alternation, you know. It's very funny. So my major teacher in London was Bill Ireland in the demonstration class. And in the fallow years, I went, I think it was Mary Jemison's class that I went to. And Rita was taking a class one year that I went to, I seem to remember. But in the meantime, I was heavily involved in the Croydon branch as well. And for a year or two, I taught the advanced class there at Purley Oak School. But the reception in the London branch, I would say, was daunting, I suppose, because of my choice of where I wanted to dance.
I suppose I was lucky in that when I was around, I was in my middle 20s, and so therefore it was comparatively easy for a man in those days, mm-hmm. because the women, they had the difficulty in all sorts of ways in getting into certainly the demonstration club. I was fortunate, I didn't have to do an audition, I was invited. I never did an audition for the damn class.
One off.
But yes, it was, you know.
Very true.
Yeah, it was. But it was, that's the way things were in the middle 60s. And then shortly, I mean, I sort of just soaked everything up like a sponge and joined in September 63, was in the DEM class in June 66. First certificate in 67 and second certificate in 68. So it was just concentrated in that because I was single and could do all these things without any little hindrance. So, but then all the facilities were around. Every institute had all the grades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the grades.
True.
Yeah. And then I started teaching the branch in 71. I took over from Alistair Ferguson in 71. And I went on to 2002, I think.
Talking about your teaching, when I was on the branch committee, I was on the classes committee and used to go around all the classes, and I used to come down to and see Bill Arler's class and your class. And I remember very vividly, one week the Ladies of Dunce was on the programme the following Saturday, and we had been taught it on the Tuesday, and we had quite a lot of problems because, you know, it's the dance where the ones had to cross down, that followed by the twos followed by the ones, and the ones were just going to sleep and not doing it. Whereas when I went down to Owen's class on the Wednesday, he kidded his class. This was an easy dance, and he had them shuttling through, no problem at all.
Yeah. So, what about dances? There were lots of dances.
Oh, in the old days,
by the branch.
In the old days, when they were at Fetter Lane, if you didn't apply immediately, you were told the reel came out, you didn't get a ticket. Mm. It was, you know, they probably could have sold about double or treble the number of tickets. they were very popular indeed. Full, always full. Anyway, it was a great thing to get a ticket for them.
Were they members only?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
You wouldn't get a ticket unless you were a member. You know,
definitely.
So you had to apply for the ticket. Mm. How many people were there? 120 or so?
120 was the
120-ish.
It wasn't a very big hall.
And you had to get your ticket, you know.
Oh, yes, definitely. At Fetter Lane, definitely. Mm. Mm. And the same with the big
balls, as they call them.
Oh, yes, yes.
Portrait Hall.
Portrait Hall. Seymour Hall.
You always had to apply immediately.
Immediately, yes,
yes. And we used to get them for the classes too, didn't we?
Yes,
they,
yes.
Yes, on an allocation, yes.
Mm. Yeah, that was they were very popular. Yeah. Of course, in those days, they had the big, well-known bands.
Yeah, and McLean's, of course, who were so popular. Yes.
Yes, and sometimes the bands weren't as good as they might have been.
Oh, no.
Does anybody remember Flora Argent?
Yes.
No.
And Reginald Flowers.
I remember the name, but I can't remember.
Absolutely.
Stan Watts.
Stan Watts. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, but that's beside the point. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't all roses as we tried to make out to be.
Definitely.
Some of it wasn't, you know, some of it was a bit pedestrian, let's put it that way.
But the branch membership.
Oh, yes, they said the branch membership being quite big could easily get 120 dances.
Quite, no,
and the dances
no
were once a month, weren't they?
They were
quite regular. So,
yes. Yeah.
You know, because the branch had a large membership, you could easily get the numbers for whatever dance. And of course, the two big ones, certainly. Natalie were the two Portrait Hall dances, weren't they?
They were, yes, it was always.
So, January and March were, you know,
yes. And the January one was on a Friday.
They were always on a Friday. Uh-huh. They were always on a Friday. I don't know whether we could never ever get the hall for a Saturday or just too expensive. But they were always, it was always a scramble to get them for a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I remember one year, it snowed. And yet, the hall was always full. I mean, it was a very bad snowstorm in round here, and yet the hall was full. People made an effort to get there.
Yeah. You'd always guarantee there'd be a good crowd.
A good crowd then, yeah. And the standard was
high. Got those.
And what about the balls? There was Portchester Hall and Seymour Hall. What about other places?
Other places. Coglino's.
Yeah, well, yes, when they had the ball.
Hyde Park Hotel.
Hyde Park Hotel.
It was the first one I went to.
Yeah, that was. I think that was the one.
1957.
Yes, Hyde Park Hotel.
But that meant balls were balls. You could see.
They were proper
balls.
Yes. They weren't like the balls we
now.
Seymour or Seymour.
No. That was more of a.
That was more of a
dance.
A dance.
Big dance.
Big dance. Yes.
Big dance.
No, these were full even. Properly done. Mm. I mean, they were fantastic dues.
People couldn't expect.
I mean, they
couldn't afford it these days, but they didn't have those places.
Mm-hmm. No, they were quite expensive. Can you remember what the place was in off Kingsway? We had a big ball there one year. I can't remember what it was called. It was a hotel off the Kingsway somewhere.
Well, we had one in Russell Square. I remember that.
Maybe that was the one. Can you remember what it was called?
No, Buckle Band.
No,
some
maybe,
hotel.
Maybe it was. Well, that's all in the same.
There's some hotel in Russell Square.
It's the same area, but I mean that was a big one.
Mm.
I can remember that one.
But the highlight of mainly was the Portchester Hall dances each year. There was March and January and March.
Can you remember when they finished? Because they went on for so long,
then they
stopped for, I've no idea.
Yes,
what
because the place
happened.
Was going to be refurbished.
That's right.
The whole place was going to be, you know, not knocked down, but sort of
refurbished and probably
refurbished.
The
and then the prices went up so much that it was became almost impossible.
Yeah.
Just quite late on.
Well, that was Portchester. What about
late 80s? That was.
Was it?
I would have thought so. The 80s is 30 years ago.
I know. Well, what about Seymour Hall?
I never ever went to Seymour Hall. It was before my time, funnily enough.
But I wouldn't call that a ball. That was just a large dance.
Yeah, but
that
I can't
was
remember why we
prior 63, the Seymour Hall. I never ever went
when?
To there.
Really?
Yes,
gosh.
I never went. I think they just
almost go there.
Must have just finished. You know, you used to hear the stories of.
Yes, maybe.
Because
that
it was a swimming pool, they put the.
They put
the floor
a
over
the
when you danced and backed up and down. I basically hear stories of that, but I never actually went to see more.
Maybe they just got
it was,
too expensive when like everything
it was
else.
Definitely in the 60s because.
Yeah, 60s. Early 60s.
It was a Friday. It was held on a Friday. because my Friday West Wickham class was decimated when Jimmy Shan came to play at the Seymour Hall. Everyone, well, not everyone, but half of the people went to the dance.
Yeah, that was... Gosh, I can't remember the times.
I can't remember the times. It must have been the early 80s. Mm. So at least we were dancing at Orchard Hall in those days. Mm.
Yes,
yes. Yes, up to about 83, 84-ish, 85-ish.
I seem to remember Jimmy Shand was very good on the quick, the reels and the jigs, but not so good on the Strathspeys.
I never danced to him.
Whereas McBain's played the Strathspeys beautifully, and I love Strathspeys.
There was a band that came down, one of the big bands that came down and quite blotted their copybooks, but were not very good. Can you remember?
No.
One band at one stage, to one of the big dances.
Mm. Yes, I remember one being a disappointment, but I don't remember which one.
I don't know which, there was one, definitely, but which the band was, I cannot remember.
But I think they had not brought their full band. I think had...
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously some reason for it, but it certainly wasn't, not what we expected.
And of course, at all of those big dances, the demonstration class had to produce a demonstration.
Mm.
And that was one of the highlights of the demonstration class. You had to be absolutely perfect.
I was going to say, that's your absolutely typical.
Most difficult audience of all to dance for, isn't it?
Yes, yes, very critical audience.
Pick up on everything.
And then, of course, the branch appeared regularly, that was on alternate years, at the Albert Hall, the EFDSS, in February.
I remember those.
And that was a great occasion.
That was fantastic.
And Bill's choreography was really pretty good.
And it certainly was.
I remember one year, a very special year, just before the branch event on the floor, all the lights were switched off, and the two teams had to get onto the bull ring quickly.
In the dark.
In the dark. And the music started while it was still in the dark, and when the lights came on, we were already doing the first 8 bars of an Itsum reel. Except that in my set, my partner wasn't there. So we had an Itsum reel and a sevensome reel.
Accidentally or on purpose?
She lost her way in the dark.
I'll tell you when that was, in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the time of the 3-day week and all that business.
Oh, yes.
During Edward Heath's premiership.
Oh, really?
The first minor strike, and there was, you could only work so many
blackouts,
hours a day.
Yes, that's right.
And the lights were turned off at various times, and it was happened to be then. Yeah.
So my partner appeared at the end of the first 8 bars. No, she just suddenly joined up, and we were all ready. Bill was livid. He just exploded. And the lady in question, John Castle's wife, as it was, was expelled from the demonstration class. She was not allowed back.
Persona non grata after that.
Yeah, it ruined the demonstration.
The unforgivable.
I'm not sure that 90% of the audience didn't realise.
They didn't know.
Well, I don't think it was so much the fact that she lost away in the dark, because she wasn't ready with all the other people, because she was drinking with one of the other musicians or somebody else. She wasn't where she was supposed to be. Therefore, she wasn't there. If she'd been where she was supposed to be, she would have probably got on. And she was suddenly realised and was late.
you're letting out terrible secrets.
Well, I didn't mention any names.
No.
Yeah, there was.
There was one occasion. I can't remember what. At the Albert Hall, and I remember Harry Secombe was part of it. He was part of this.
Yes, I remember that.
Can you remember that one?
Yeah, I
don't know whether that was a EFDS or whether it was something different.
We mostly danced in the Albert Hall with the EFDSS.
It was mainly, but why was he involved with the EFDS? But he was there certainly one year.
And do you remember that demonstration that we did for the, it was sort of help the aged, they were all aged
groups. That's right, yeah,
performing.
Oh,
and Bill Ireland had to knock into shape people who were, had not been demonstration dancers or...
I remember dancing with Alison Ferguson. That was probably the last time she ever danced in that context.
Yes.
Yes, my partner was Elma Taylor.
Wow, really?
It was the last time she danced.
Right, you were lucky.
And I was given the special job of looking after her to make sure that she didn't go astray. Because
Elma. She was a superb dancer.
I know, but this was when she was really getting very old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had...
It
was only with great persuasion that she was able to... Bill was able to bring her in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean,
She was a lovely dancer.
She was a beautiful dancer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I remember Ollie Harris helped Bill with the sort of administration and the recruitment of the these aged dancers.
Over 50, Mary.
Oh, was it only over 50? I think it was 60.
Wasn't it called Celebrating Age?
Celebrating Age.
Yes, something like
that. That was making it sound very negative.
But it was quite a long time ago.
Yes,
it
was.
Must have been, in the 80s?
Must have been 80s. It must have been the 80s because I left the Dem class in 1989, so it was obviously...
Before then.
Obviously in the 80s, towards the end, or 86-ish.
Something like that.
Must have been before that because I left the Dem class in 85.
Yeah, but you came back again. You left and you came back.
But that wasn't only for the Dem class.
No, because
anybody...
Yes, because
anybody,
I was in it too. Yes.
Anybody could join.
Oh, maybe so.
Ex-Dem and ex-advanced class, I think, were recruited, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, those were good days. You were enjoying them.
Mm. And what about Polston Lacey?
The open air dancing once a year. They were good.
They were
good. They were organised basically by, wasn't it?
The booths. It was Stella and Howard.
Started the whole thing off.
Because the committee weren't too keen, and they said no and went ahead, and it was a great success. And Alex was a wonderful MC.
Alex and McBain's band made the whole afternoon.
And a beautiful on the croquet. That was
on the croquet
lawn.
After that, it went downhill because
it did.
When they went to dance at different venues, which weren't quite the same.
No, it was a shame that they said we couldn't dance on
there. Yes, because it was a lovely surface and also this magnificent view.
Beautiful place. And plenty of other places for the people to go.
Yes.
Well, of course, it was very dependent on the weather. And there were occasions when we had to resort to the local school.
Local schools.
But one year, we had printed 500 tickets for Polston Lacey, and that particular year we ran out of tickets. We had to recycle them.
Really? We had more than 500.
We had 600 people at Polston Lacey one year only.
Yes, I remember. It was a lovely sunny day, and there were all these families having their picnics.
Right.
You know, there were a lot of non-dancers watching this whole event. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, that was a lovely place. But you say that the venues afterwards weren't.
Not nearly as good.
But
there was one particular incident on a rainy afternoon, or it wasn't actually raining, but the forecast was it was a thunderstorm forecast, and they decided that they would have the event in a school because it was too risky to have the musicians under a thunderstorm, potentially. And, of course, it was very humid, and the school didn't have a large enough room, so we had dancing in two rooms.
I remember that.
Yes, two rooms. And we had two MCs
running. Trying to coordinate.
What about the music?
Aha! Yeah. This is where the interesting part of the story came. Because it was very humid, the band was playing a Strathspey 8 times 32, and by about 6 times through, the band got sleepier and sleepier, and one instrument dropped out altogether. and the next instrument dropped out, and eventually the band stopped playing altogether about six times through because they just fell asleep.
That's a new one. That's really...
Yes. But then how did they get the music through to the other room?
They had an extension loudspeaker.
There was a sort of platform in the centre, wasn't there?
I remember,
between the two halls.
But when they talked about open air dancing, what used to be very popular in the 70s was Holland Park.
Oh, yes.
That was wonderful.
With the peacocks.
Yes, that was a peacock. Well, for many years, wasn't it? It was quite well attended.
Yes.
But it was the same with these things, they sort of.
Wasn't that something to do with the council, though?
We had a lot of
Well,
I suppose it's the equivalent these days of Kensington Gardens, isn't it?
Mm. Yes.
That presumably was organised by the, I suppose, presumably what the branch got in touch with the local borough council to see if they could do it.
It was the local borough council because they, I think they gave it free. Yeah.
But they were very successful,
certainly, in the first, when it first started up.
Yeah, there were a lot.
These things are always very good in the first.
I always remember the peacocks wandering in and out.
Yes. Oh, yes, quite, yes. The wonderful noise they made.
Yes.
And around that time, there were also evening dances at Jubilee Gardens.
Yes, where the eye is now.
Yes. And the different classes had to put on demonstrations.
Yes, that's it.
I remember trying to do a spray on that. Concrete.
Wearing the shoes out at rapid pace.
I think we were doing too. Yeah.
No, there were lots of things happening in those days.
Yes.
Lots of things. Then can we go on to weekend schools?
Yes.
Weekend schools. I took over from Alistair Ross started them because Alistair Ross, let me get this right. Alistair Ross, I think I'm right in saying, had a connection with John Lewis. And John Lewis had their big country sort of house for their staff on the Thames down near Bisham. And he discovered about Bisham that was open. So he started the weekend schools at Bisham, which were a great success. And then when he wanted to retire, I took over from him. And I did that for I don't know how many years, quite a number of years. As I say, always at least two, if not three times, oversubscribed. All sorts of different people came for teaching. Mary Stoker, Derek Haynes, Jackie Johnson. We had wonderful people coming down, and we had a fantastic time. And then they suddenly decided that Bisham was going to become the centre for, I think at that time it was tennis. And they wanted to take over the whole place and alter it so it could accommodate the tennis people. Sorry, before that, they built a new block, sleeping block, which was not very good. And that put us off because we couldn't use some of the rooms that were used in the house itself. Because we had that lovely, fantastic ballroom, if you remember, with a beautiful fireplace, lovely ballroom. There were various other rooms in the house we could use. Those went. We had to use this rather nasty gym place outside.
With a lot of sporting equipment.
Absolutely. That wasn't so good. And then we finally got the message they didn't want us. So where did we go after there? We must have gone down.
East Hampstead?
We went to East Hampstead, but we also went down. Do you remember going down to Pulborough?
Yeah.
Pulborough was good.
Went to Pulborough, and that was a very good place.
I remember Jackie Johnson having us dancing backwards across the court from the corners. Skip change backwards.
That was mainly run by Ian Anderson, wasn't it? It started in 1960.
I started it.
Did you start it? Well, Ian
Anderson only took it over when I went abroad.
Oh, I see. It was 65 when I first went to...
I honestly can't remember. I don't think I put it down here. The dates.
They were fantastic.
Yes.
Over the whole long Easter weekend, that was tremendous.
Mm-hmm. And how many?
I organised them from 1960 to 64. That was at Lodge Hill, Pulborough.
Yeah,
and then we did one at
somewhere, where?
Yes, it was where.
It was owned by the Building Society.
It was owned by somebody with a beautiful
Japanese garden.
That's right. Mm. That's where we had this fantastic bedroom, Mary and I. Enormous great bedroom. Not quite, but practically as big as this room. It really was colossal, with an enormous great ensuite bathroom. It was fantastic.
Because the chairman and his wife didn't want it. They felt it was too posh. So Rosemary and I decided it was not too posh for us.
Too posh for us. Definitely not.
And I've gotten down here weekend.
I can't remember who
it was. East Hampstead.
Fannam's Hall.
Oh, Fannam's Hall.
Yes.
Was that the Ware? That was the Ware.
And there's also, then we did a Hogmanay one at Missenden Abbey.
Yes, that's right. That was just the one-off. Yes.
With the Hogmanay before other people started.
That was, I'll tell you when that was.
I'm 1978. Oh, right.
Because Anne was only about a year old.
Oh, right.
When we didn't go for the weekend, we went for one of the days.
Yes.
She was only about a year old. Okay.
Right.
Because John Drury, didn't he come to
that one? John Drury came to that and told some of his dances there.
Yes.
No, we managed to get the really good. And I mean, that was the start of when I first started meeting and knowing about Robert Mackay. That was the weekend schools. That was when I first sort of really met him.
Mm. Did you organise things in Arran too? Was that for the branch?
That was done. I can't think. No, I didn't actually organise it.
Alistair did the start of that.
It might have been Alistair. Yeah. He didn't do it all the time, but he started it.
They were only holiday weeks.
That was a holiday week.
Holiday weeks.
We stayed at Whiting Bay Hotel.
Yes, they were dancing in the evening, but nothing serious.
You danced in the evening, no. During the day, you did what you wanted. But we had a lot of people from other branches. It wasn't only London branch. They came from all over the place.
In 1980, quite a few of the branch members formed the Cairngorms. And we used to go up to the Edinburgh weekends, which Robert Mackay was organising, and we got very friendly with a lot of the Edinburgh dancers. And those were splendid weekends, very good teachers and lovely music.
Then, as you say, we put on these four productions done by the demonstration class.
Yeah, the concerts.
The concerts, yes. Yes, the concerts. Two at...
Well, we did... The first one was at...
North London, wasn't it? We've done Rutherford School.
The next one was at West Hampstead.
The next one was done at the Middlesex Medical School.
Third one was at that theatre in nearby, wasn't it? What was that called?
Stanhope.
Stand-up theatre.
That's right. Yes, there were four of them. Yes, because I was involved in all four of them, organising various different things. Those were all very successful.
Yeah, they were.
You can't see those happening today.
Never. A lot of these things are
wonderful memories.
Wonderful memories. I don't think they'll ever happen again. For whatever reason.
Well, to start with...
Mainly money, I suppose, to be quite honest, you won't come down to it.
No, but also you haven't met people, because when you think that the majority of those were the basis of them were all the demonstration class.
Yeah.
We've now got no demonstration class, have we? Unfortunately. So they've gone. But they were fantastic.
But then, I was fortunate in as much as I came towards the end of the Scottish dancing bonanza.
Yes.
Which was in what made it was in the 50s and the 60s, where it absolute heyday. Mm. And when I got in the middle 60s to the sort of end of the 70s, it was sort of going, down for all sorts of reasons. Yeah.
We were lucky indeed when we were around, it was at that time. I mean, surely one of the reasons is that Scottish country dancing got become so popular that you've got so many different groups setting up all, as you might say, from here in the suburbs, So people were going to the suburbs. They didn't want to come into London in the evening. They went to their own local ones in the suburbs, and this sort of drained from the
It would be interesting to know how, if anybody at a headquarters listens to all these various branches. I mean, we must be so different, only in as much as it's such a big city that it's so diverse, and it's not like a smallish place where it's all concentrated. And as time has gone on, it's spread even further.
Has spread, definitely.
I mean, when we used to have all the classes in central London, at the Central London Institute and Marylebone and South Kensington, Chelsea, Westminster,
Quinton,
people will come from miles to
miles
a class in central London.
Mm.
Well, they don't, or certainly won't anymore. They don't, you see, because it's so big.
Travel comes into it, safety comes into it. A lot of people nowadays don't want to travel into London in the evening times.
Or go home late,
right, in the London. There's an awful lot of, and of course, how many schools can you now use to do that sort of thing? I mean, a lot of the schools, because presume they can't get the caretakers that are willing to, you know, open up and shut up in the late evening.
And they all charge a lot
they
of money.
They all charge.
They charge, yes, they must. Well, there's always a way for them to make money, which you can understand with the situation.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose the change occurred in the 1950s. When the Croydon branch formed out of the London branch and took away from London quite a number of the senior people who were in the London branch, Mrs. Sanderson, Barbara Ockenden, and people like that.
Yeah.
They went and formed the Croydon branch. Now, the Croydon branch was on a different basis from the London branch insofar as the classes there were independent. They were not run by the branch. They were independent groups running classes, and they formed a sort of federation. As a result of that, there was dancing every week down in Croydon. You could go to a dance in any of those areas, and they had a roster so that everyone had their share of holding a dance. And that really was the start of a similar thing happening on the periphery of London. You've got clubs setting up on the periphery.
Yes,
and that provided the opportunity for people to go and learn Scottish country dancing without having to come into central London. And that, in a way, is why it is so difficult now to run classes in London. Because the classes, there are peripheral classes catering for that
and
near people's homes.
I was going to say, nowadays, not so many people live right in London.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They've all, a lot of them moved out.
Mm.
Yes, all the young people, like Jeremy and Grace, for instance, who lived
in
London, now live out at Huffington. And you moved to Reading and
Cornwall.
What about the branch's relationships with the other London societies, like the Highland Club, the Reading Club, and the clans?
I think they've always tried to coordinate, haven't they, so they didn't get clashing dates, and I don't know whether it went beyond that.
Because there was always a dance at Fetter Lane on a Saturday night. Every single Saturday night was a dance at Fetter Lane. And because they used to be held one week it would be the branch, another week would be the Highland Club, and then it would be the clans. And there was another one.
The Real Club.
They used to have them like that. So, people used to go to dance every Saturday night, and it might have been a different organisation running it.
But doesn't that happen here?
Thank you.
Do they have one every Saturday?
Not every Saturday.
No, I don't think so.
Saturday.
I don't know.
The Real Club closed.
But John Murray kept the Monday.
Yes,
the Monday
still
is that strong.
Strong. as a new dancer in the 80s, I went to everything, but
yes,
you were very conscious of how different it was.
Not all,
yes. The Highland Club, you danced in one way, with the branch, danced another way, and the Real Club was somewhere in between.
Yes, because you could dance every single night of the week. I mean, you could go to a class somewhere in the London area.
Oh, yes.
On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday and Saturday would be a dance somewhere, so you could go.
You could do, yes.
You could do that, yes. Yeah. But yes, as you said, the styles were very, very different. And you, if you were savvy, you had to make sure that you didn't try and impose your way on anybody else. If you went to one of the other clubs, they'll think you've been snooty or whatever, you see. So you had to watch your step. Not always in one. You had to be sure that, you know, you sort of really fitted in. But they were all the same, but yet different. They were, you know.
Well, this is why they were there, because they were different.
Yeah.
If they were the same, there wouldn't be any reason for them existing.
Yeah.
And this is the diversity of life. It is good that there were different opportunities for dancing in London. But of course, they were brought together under the combined societies.
Yes.
The combined societies run by Annie Waterson. And that continued until she died quite recently. And that's why we have a combined societies dance once a year.
Yes.
The societies know, or the group of societies know, is different from what it used to be, because it included defunct organizations like the Real Club.
Right. And the impression that people thought that the branch looked down on other dancers, and there wasn't a relationship.
I think it was the case, because I think what put people off, perhaps it's my interpretation, was the word royal.
Yes.
Because they thought, oh, because you're royal, you've been grand and been snooty, understand the next thing, which wasn't necessarily the case. So they therefore didn't like people who were in the branch much, but I mean, perhaps that's my own.
Was it also because we were lower down. We had Edinburgh, and the society started in Scotland. Where did all the Real and the other clubs, presumably just a London club?
I don't think they associated us with Edinburgh.
They didn't.
No, I don't think
they thought so. But they were certainly older in the branch than the society.
Yes, I suppose it was because the branch was snooty in terms of they tried to maintain a higher standard of dancing, whereas
the crux of the matter.
Yes, the Highland Club was a club for enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
It wasn't a matter of doing the dances properly, as long as you enjoyed yourself. And that was the difference between the branch and the Highland Club.
Yes. And if you try to do it properly, you were looked upon as being
above
yourself.
I remember one dance when my sister was still dancing, and I can't remember what the dance was, but this woman tried to push me into the dance, and my sister drowned it on her and said, "My sister is dancing with the music." Because this is it, you know, they were just sort of swinging away and...
But times change, don't they? Things are different now to what they were.
Well, times have changed the nature of the dancing in the London area, because the average age of people who do Scottish country dancing has gone up and up, and because of that, there is much less emphasis on footwork and much more emphasis on doing the figures, just getting there. Now, if you go back to the 1950s, it would have been frowned upon very seriously if you carried on like that. Mm. And Miss Milligan would not have put up with it, because she was very insistent on maintaining the standard of footwork.
What about the summer school? Has that kept up the standard still up in St Andrews?
The standard of dancing is certainly not as high overall as it used to be.
And that's an age problem, I think.
I remember the first time Helen Brown persuaded me to go up to summer school, and I was very fortunate because my years are very advanced, and the certificate, the first hour they were joined up to learn the new book, and we had Bill Little teaching us. And in my class I had Linda Gall and Elaine and all these very good dancers, and Bill, and it was very interesting because he was making all the teaching points, but the rest of us were also taking all this in, and it was very good.
In my day when I joined, there were middle 20s, there were lots of people, loads of people in the middle, in their 20s dancing. So, you know, now, I mean, they feel far between on the whole, won't they? So, that, of course, is the difficulty.
Well, if you've been here 2 Saturdays ago...
Oh, was that the spring fling thing?
They were fabulous, weren't they?
Yes. Now, that's because it was a young crowd.
Oh, yeah.
It made such a difference.
Yes.
It mentioned that there were 200 dancers.
Nearly 200.
What was it?
180.
180, was it?
When the musicians were playing, the Spring Fling people came here for their dance.
Oh, right.
So there were branch members and the Spring Fling, which amalgamated about 180 people.
And the fact that we had 180, and the fact that we're, the majority were youngsters, created an atmosphere which fed back to the musicians, and they played better, and it just raised the whole thing. It was a memorable evening.
And on the whole, what was the standard of dancing?
With the young ones?
Yes.
Excellent. Not all of them. Some of them had come as intermediate dancers, but there were a lot of very good dancers.
More like my grandson, not very good at all.
I never discovered which your grandson was, but certainly your son was there. And it was lovely to see Jeremy and Grace able to let their hair down and dance really well, because there were enough people there to make good sets rather than just good couples.
And it's still fun watching the children's dances too.
Yes.
Seeing those who, you know, were showing great promise and others who will never make it.
But there's this gap, isn't it, between the children's dancers, which sort of, what's the average age of them? They would be about 8, 9.
Yes.
And then.
There's a long gap.
There's a great big gap, isn't there, after them until it happens again, isn't it?
Can you remember when the children's dances started? Wendy and Andrew started them, didn't they?
Yes, in a church hall near Paddington.
That's right, yes. What's
St. John's?
Sussex Gardens. Yeah. But I forget what the name of the church is. And I know where it is, I've seen it in my mind's eye. Charlie Galloway. Johnny Galloway used to play the pipes and so on.
He had the children playing the bagpipes. He had balloons. All the children had balloons under their arms. And they were playing the pipe, you know.
Well, I've read about them in old reels, but there seemed to have been a lot of children going when they started.
It was very, they were very well attended, very well attended. And Andrew and Wendy did a great job.
Well, that must have been in the beginning of the 80s, because I first knew Andrew Kellett when he joined the Dame class in 1976. And even then, Wendy weren't married then. Though they must have got married at the end of the 70s or beginning of the 80s. So it must have been sort of, you know, 82, 3, that sort of time, I would imagine, when they were running it together.
Well, certainly Wendy's gone on, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's always been.
She's always done.
Well, and of course she's the one who's teaching high standard.
Because
she's got children that she knows in the school situation, she's able to do that. But we certainly benefit from having that. So, tell me a bit about being chairman of the branch. All of you who are chairman of the branch.
That's one thing I don't have to say anything about.
Well, my experience of the branch, the greatest event was the occasion when we had a dance in either Battersea or Wandsworth, I can't remember which, in February, and the band coming down from Scotland couldn't come because they were snowed up. And John Laurie tore his hair, and the only band he could find was Robin Ellis.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And Robin Ellis, at a day's notice, played for that dance most extraordinarily well.
Really?
It was a marvellous performance
really?
That he put on.
Yes, yes, it was.
And
it was at Battersea, yes.
We offered any of the dancers their money back if they weren't happy about the music.
Mm.
And there was only one lady who asked for her money back.
Mm. One lady? That's pretty good.
But that was a horrible occasion when I had to announce to the crowd that the band was not here.
I'm still snowed in.
Yes, it was Craigal.
Craigal Band, yes. Mm. They're still on the go.
Well, they were only about 16 then.
Yes, they were youngsters.
They were very young.
They were youngsters. And the trouble was that they decided to drive down, and they just coincided with a major snowstorm in the southern uplands, and they couldn't get out of Scotland.
Well, they probably wouldn't have been able to get out even if it had been come by train.
Yes, they would.
Or would they?
Yeah, because the East Coast line was quite clear.
Okay.
It was just the west and centre of the uplands that were affected. The train was all right because it was too late.
Too late.
Yeah.
So is that your abiding memory of being chairman?
That's
of the
right. That's my memory.
Now about you, Mary, with your sensitive time.
I seem to remember that there was some special function for Bill. Was it his birthday?
Yes, he needed retired.
Yes,
were you
a
chairman
mad.
In 1889?
I was chairman and Alex was president.
Were you a chairman in 89?
I can't remember.
Well,
about
that was
that
certainly
time, that sort
really
of time. Yes, I think so. I think there was a sort of presentation at the
yes,
bar.
Yes, that's right.
I remember with Alex. I've got a photograph of the three of us.
Bill had to give up teaching for the Institute, I think, and then he decided to
that's
give
right.
up the
yes.
No, when he was
yes.
65, wasn't it?
65, yeah.
He had to retire.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And that was 1989, because he retired from the DEM class, teaching the DEM class at the same time, didn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
Wasn't that when there was a performance of the Dancing Master
that's right,
too?
Yeah, that's
that
right.
dance,
yes.
I remember that.
Yes, because
yes,
I gave up at the same time you did the DEM class.
I think that was down at Wandsworth.
Yes, Wandsworth. Wandsworth.
Yeah.
So that's your abiding
yes,
memory of being
yes,
chairman.
Yes.
mine.
Doing
yes.
very well here.
Mine is the greatest function the branch has ever done, well certainly in my dancing lifetime, was the Hurlingham Club 75th anniversary ball, which
yeah.
was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing could have been better than that night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That was absolutely, I mean the whole setup of the place and where it was and the number of people who were there and coming from all over the show, and it was just absolutely fantastic.
Yes, it was.
That was Peter Knight who
yeah,
the
entree
there,
Michael
wasn't it?
Yes.
Because he was a member.
Mm. 30th of October, 2004, that was.
Is it?
Mm. Was it? That was a lovely venue.
75th, that's right. Mm. And then, of course, they put the price up.
Mm.
Well, it was an expensive place, wasn't it? I mean, did they put the price up after it was agreed, or what?
I think they'd rebuilt the hall.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And this was the first time.
That was the first time it was being
opened.
Used in that context,
uh-huh.
yes,
mm.
yes.
And with the band in
the
middle.
Middle, yes, that's right.
Mm.
I believe, yes, that was absolutely fantastic evening.
Right, shall we stop for a little bit anyway?